The Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out into the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. It is the traditional text for Thanksgiving Day, and the title of the sermon is Thanking God in a Loud Voice and Song. In our gospel today, we learn three things: the role of faith in prayer, the importance of gratitude, and the virtue of patience with ingratitude. First, the role of faith in prayer. At the end of the lesson, we hear how the Lord glorifies faith. He ascribes the healing of the lepers to their faith, not to himself. He says to the Samaritan, "Your faith has made you well." He does not say, "I have made you well." Instead, he praises faith. By doing so, Jesus is urging us to boldly follow the Samaritan's example and to believe in God with total trust. He wants us to be certain that whatever we believe, we shall receive through Christ. If we believe that through Christ we have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, then that's the way it will be. If we believe that for Christ's sake, God is gracious and merciful to us, then he will be gracious and merciful. Now, God, of course, is the one who does all of this. But he wants everyone to learn this truth, that if we do not receive something which we need and which God has promised, then it is not God's fault, but our unbelief. For if we firmly believe his promises, we will certainly receive what God promises. Thus, the first lesson from today's gospel is to know that we should commit ourselves to God and trust him for everything, for he will supply our needs. On the other hand, anyone who does not believe in God nor trust him to give us every blessing should realize that he won't receive anything. And that is what James says in the first chapter of his epistle, in so many words like this: if anyone wishes to ask God for something, he should neither doubt nor waver, saying, "Who knows whether God will grant my request or whether I am worthy of it?" That's from James chapter 1 and chapter 4. But don't say that. Don't even think it. Instead, say, "I know that for Christ's sake, God will give and do for me whatever I ask. Even if he doesn't do it in the way and at the time I prefer, he will do it in his own time and in his own way." And that's a paraphrase of what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and John 16. A wavering and doubting heart that doesn't believe, that isn't convinced that it will receive what it asks for, will certainly receive nothing. For God can give such a wavering heart nothing, even though he would dearly love to do so. Here, perhaps, a contemporary example will make this a little bit clearer. Let's say you walk into a local bar and the bouncer stops you. I'm talking 2020. And even before you get inside, he says, "Hey you, stop there. Where's your face mask?" "Well, I have mine." "But you didn't have it right then." "And where's your wine glass?" "You have to have your own wine glass." "I can't let you in until you're wearing a face mask and have your own glass. Go home, get those, and then I'll let you in." So meekly, you go home, get your face mask, your own wine glass, and you return to the bar, and the bouncer lets you in. Then you go to the bar, and you tell the bartender, "I'd like a full glass of your best California Cabernet Sauvignon. Boy, do I need it. On the side, I'd like a chunk of Point Reyes Farmstead's original blue cheese." The bartender gets a bottle of wine and a chunk of cheese. You hold out your glass, and he starts to pour the wine into the glass when you start moving your glass back and forth. He says, "Hey, pal, stop moving your glass. This is expensive vino." But you keep moving your glass back and forth, wavering it, so he can't pour the wine into it. And you think that's funny, till the bouncer picks you up and throws you out of the bar and slams the door. Now, that's something like what it is when you ask God for something in prayer, but then you waver back and forth in unbelief about whether he's going to give you what you promised. That really isn't a prayer. Notice that in our gospel lesson, all the 10 lepers wait patiently, and they never doubt that Jesus will help them. This is why they get exactly what they believe. Remember this example of the 10 lepers, so that you learn to trust God's goodness implicitly, without wavering, but patiently expecting whatever you pray for. Expect to receive health if you are sick, food if you are poor, righteousness when you are unrighteous and full of sin, and life when you expect death. God dearly loves to give everything to his beloved children, except that sometimes he makes them wait. And you know that. Don't you do the same with your children and grandchildren? If your child one day asks you for virtual Pong in the store, do you buy that cool new game right away while they're there? No. You make a mental note of that, and then it arrives under the Christmas tree several days, weeks, months later. You almost always have to wait. Second, the importance of gratitude. The example of the 10 lepers is a bad one if you look at the 9 who did not return to give thanks. As soon as the 9 were healed, they fell away from faith and didn't even bother to thank Jesus for their blessing. This bad example should teach us, in reverse, to be thankful and to be on guard against the shameful behavior of ingratitude. For our Lord God has every right to insist on receiving the honor of gratitude that we owe him for all the blessings that we have received from him. We should give God thanks gladly and willingly because it is something that doesn't require from us any pain or trouble. How much effort does it take to turn to God and say, "Oh Lord, you've given me good vision, skillful hands and feet, countless other blessings, for all of which I thank you from the bottom of my heart, for they are all gifts from you." Or here's an analogy. How much effort does it take to thank your father and mother, your boss, or your friend when they have done you a favor? It certainly doesn't cost you an arm and a leg, but merely an acknowledgement of the favor and an expression of your gratitude. And that's all that the Samaritan did in our gospel lesson. It didn't cost him a red cent. Yet it pleased Jesus so much that it fills us also with admiration of the Samaritan, as it should. Gratitude pleases people and it softens their heart. It moves them to repeat the favor in the future. On the flip side, we know that ingratitude is a common failing. We know that we practice ingratitude toward those to whom we should be most grateful. That is, our fathers and mothers, who sacrificed everything for the sake of their children, their bodies, their lives, their reputation, their property, their money, their time, everything they had. And how do the children repay them? Very seldom are children grateful. Practically all children become ungrateful, and most of them in the world would rejoice if their parents would just hurry up and die. And that's just horrible. Third, the virtue of patience with ingratitude. That is, when you receive ingratitude. And we see this in Jesus, in our text, who only mildly rebukes in their absence the 9 lepers who were ungrateful. He does not confront them personally. He does not zap them or take away the gift of health. No one has this sort of patience with ingratitude except God and true Christians. And the world does not have it, as is evident everywhere. The ancient Greeks had some very outstanding soldiers who faithfully served their country, literally putting their lives on the battle line. When they found out that they were being maligned back home and would not return home with honors, they joined their enemies, fighting against their own country with all their might. Now that is human nature and the way it responds to ingratitude. Whoever wants to be a Christian must clearly understand the fact that all of his good deeds, his faithfulness, and service to the church and fellow man will only result in ingratitude. He must guard against letting that fact move him to quit doing good deeds and helping others. It is a Christian virtue and a true fruit of faith that when you've done your best and people reward your hard work and kindness by criticizing your deed and work, or doing worse, you still remain patient and refuse to let the ungrateful make you angry or bitter. Being patient in the face of ingratitude is what it means to live as a Christian and to heap coals of fire on the heads of the ungrateful. On this day of Thanksgiving, you have an entire day in which to contemplate all the blessings that you have received, first from God, then your parents, and then also your employers, your relatives, your friends, your siblings, your neighbors, and our country. After the present pandemic, the riots, and the campaign rhetoric, you might have many negative thoughts about our president, the Congress, our governor, the mayors, or the other political party. But on this day, you should remember that God gives us many gifts and blessings through our government and its officers, all of them. So on this day, you should be thankful for them all, and most of all, be thankful for the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life that we receive from Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen.